Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a great day to this point, enjoying the awesome weather outside. Looks like it's going to be 70 and sunny today. We started off the show as we're sitting here at the midway point talking about the mayor of Nashville delivering a press conference this morning, like it's done every morning, just talking about the latest. And the latest is the plan to start phase one on Monday in Davidson County. To help us with all that and more is Alex Appel from Fox 17. He has been covering all of this, doing a good job on the television side of things. Alex, how you doing?
No, I'm doing all right, guys, but I just was scrolling through Twitter and I saw Chase's quarantine beard, and that thing is gnarly. I was stunned.
Gnarly, oh, yeah, is one word that comes to mind. Yeah, there are others. He has said that he wants to get it trimmed, but yet then he kind of contradicts himself and then says, he may keep it. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I might trim it up myself and see what that does. Because at first I was like, I'm just going to grow this thing out as long as this goes. And now it's just...
With what? A weed eater? What are you going to use?
Well, the lawn people are here. Maybe I can get them to help.
Get them to get some assistance.
Yeah.
So, Alex, what did you make of John Cooper's message this morning?
I think there's a lot of businesses in Nashville, excuse me, that are breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief. It was interesting because the state and Nashville were sort of on diverging paths. John Cooper taking the more cautious path, saying, we're not ready to reopen. It's not the right time. He was looking at data, didn't feel like the city was headed enough in the right direction. And the state went ahead and reopened. Williamson County, Sumner County, all of these surrounding areas able to reopen at least partially. And you started to see restaurants there feel this out. It's been about 10 days for them. They're operating at 50% capacity, and it left sort of everyone in Nashville to say, how much longer, if I'm a restaurateur, can I hold on before some of these places aren't going to reopen at all? Because the longer it went, the more likelihood that there was for that. And the longer it went, the more the city started to lose business. I went to lunch this week. I live here in Nashville, but I went to Williamson County. It was the first time I had done that, tried it out, went to Puckett's, felt safe. But I probably would have gone somewhere in Davidson County. So you were probably experiencing a lot of that. And so the mayor is still not happy with the transmission rate. He's still not quite happy with the number of cases. But he's made this decision to go ahead and reopen, and not a day too early for a lot of business owners.
How much do you think this is some pressure that started getting applied this week from some pretty prominent restaurant and bar owners downtown publicly?
Oh, it's a brutal decision to have to make. I'm sure that pressure existed. I'm sure it existed 2 weeks ago, because you've got to make a decision of, if we don't reopen, you know, because let's just throw this out here as a hypothetical. I'm not a doctor, but let's just say that a doctor said to John Cooper, you know, if you can wait a whole nother month, you'll really be in good shape. I think we can really tamp this thing down. But what is the city going to look like if he has to go another month with everything closed down? It's going to reopen, and it's not going to look like the one that closed. And so he has to make a decision weighing those two things. That's sort of on competing sides of the scale. I'm glad it's not me having to make that decision. I'm sure he was getting pressure from businesses saying, we just can't hold out that much longer. Even if they firmly believe in the quarantine and lockdown and the benefits of that, and even if John Cooper, I think, would have loved to have been able to continue that, it just is not economically feasible. And you also look at the state of Nashville's finances, the clock's ticking. And every time the clock ticks, the number of millions of dollars lost continues to climb. And I'm glad that I'm not John Cooper having to make that decision weighing those factors.
Yeah, because basically every surrounding county that's touching Davidson County. I mean, I told the story to these guys on Monday. I went out Friday after the show, and I went out Saturday, went out over the weekend, and I'm down here in Rutherford County, and I'm not sure on Friday and Saturday I felt like, you know, that anything had happened. I mean, it felt like it was normal. I couldn't believe the traffic and the people that were out and people dining in restaurants in Rutherford County. And, you know, that's another thing. You don't think those business owners don't know that, right? That all the counties that are touching Davidson County, they're all open and operating, yes, at limited capacity and with rules and mask and all that good stuff. But, you know, that doesn't probably help the situation either.
Sure. And I mean, you can look at the data and make an argument that the reopening is off to a pedestrian start at best. I mean, the number of cases over the 10 days since it reopened compared to the previous 10 days is up. I mean, and they anticipated that. And everyone on a personal level is going to have to make that choice of, you know, am I ready to risk that? The answer is yes. You have opportunities now. If the answer is no, then that's certainly fine. I did take one thing away that the mayor said earlier this week. He was on our morning show on Fox 17, and he was asked about when can you reopen, and at that point he wasn't ready to divulge that it was going to be Monday. And he said, you know, we'd love to be open this week, but we're just going to have to live with a fact of life of social distancing is going to be a thing until we have a vaccine. What he said was that we're not going to really be able to gather in groups of more than 10 until we have a vaccine. Now, reading between the lines on that, we're not going to have a vaccine by football season. We may not have it by a year from now, or it might just be coming a year from now. I think that spells a tough time ahead for figuring out how, if you're going to get any in, how you're going to get any fans in sports venues. Because, I mean, look, like you just described, Rutherford County, look at the beaches in Florida. One of these things opened up. People aren't social distancing. We're not doing that good of a job of following these rules, really. I mean, we're doing okay. Some people are doing a fantastic job. Others don't follow them at all. So you've got to think that it would be very difficult to say, we're going to allow 15,000 people in Titan Stadium and sit four apart. Are people going to follow that? How are you going to enforce that? Now, the good news is, that might be a more negative viewpoint of reading between the lines of what he said. Every day that goes by during this is power. Like, 24 hours might as well be a month of time, because the more time that goes by, they accrue so much knowledge because there's so many smart minds working on this. Hopefully, 60, 90 days from now, when we're staring at the end of the summer, football's around the corner, we'd love to go see a hockey game, NBA starting back up, baseball, who knows what's going on with that. Hopefully that has given enough time and by virtue knowledge to figure out how to work this out. But I think right now the mayor would tell you there's not going to be any crowds at sporting events this fall.
Alex Appelo is with us from Fox 17, and he's been covering these press conferences that have been going on daily with Mayor Cooper. And if you have not been focusing earlier on today, the news was that Nashville is going to be ready to move in Davidson County to phase one starting on Monday. So, Alex, I got a chance to watch some of the press conference this morning. I thought it was important that he had all of his surrounding health officials come on and sort of give their green light to it, although they were very cautious in doing it. But it sounded like the data did support that it's time to go to phase one. Like they were willing to share all the numbers and the cases. And I thought it was important that they pointed out that our facilities, our hospitals have not been overrun. They're doing okay in terms of space right now.
Yeah, the hospitals, I think all leaders around the country are breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief that they were able to mitigate the catastrophic or avoid the catastrophic scenario where the hospitals get overrun. I mean, can you imagine if we'd had to have used the Music City Center as a hospital? I mean, we'd have really been in a tight spot by that point. So there's six. The high-level overview of this is there's basically six factors that the mayor is calling key metrics. Four of the six right now are in what they call satisfactory grounds. Two are less than satisfactory. None of them are unsatisfactory. The public health capacity, the testing capacity looks good. Hospital capacity looks good. I think I mentioned it just a minute ago, the transmission rate and the 14-day new case trend, they still have in the yellow of less than satisfactory. But four out of six, I think you take that. That is at least showing a city that's going to be able to handle a reopening if there is more cases, because you can't reopen. Obviously, you can't reopen anything if your floor and ICU beds and hospitals are already taken up, because you pretty much have no more bandwidth. So the city feels like they've got a little bit of bandwidth, and that's what I took away from Dr. Alex Jahangir and the mayor and everyone that spoke this morning, is that they feel like it's not perfect, but it's good enough. And, you know, for business owners, good enough, they'll take that, because we've got to get back in business. The other thing, though, I mean, think about this. You are – let's take 102.5. If you said 102.5 has to all of a sudden cut its airtime in half and operate at 50% capacity, well, that's only 50% of stuff you can sell ads for. That's very tough. That's exactly what's being asked of restaurants, 50% capacity, a little more limited hours, you're having to clean, you've really got to invest in that. Can they really survive very long on 50% capacity? Because if you can only have 50% and you're doing 30, 40% of your normal revenue, well, the cut-even point is usually 75, 80% in the restaurant business. So the next step is going to be, how long can we ask these businesses to continue to comply to these government-issued rules, because even though they might be the right thing to do, it's very difficult for them to survive on that.
Alex, it's not a problem for me, but the rest of the people on our panel would like to get their hair cut eventually. So can you help us, too, on what needs to happen to get to phase two? You've been following it close. I know this is a phased in process, and you know, we don't want to have to go back. So we've got to make sure we're on point here with the measures of phase one, so we can get to phase two.
But the mayor said it could be an accordion deal where we do go back. I think that it's easier to get to phase two than three and four. I think that the mayor is hoping that that's about a 14-day gap where gyms and salons and the barbershop can open up. Because, you know, while those aren't, we don't have to have our hair cut to live and live well, you know, those are in some ways essential, you know, services that we've always just taken for granted. And from a nationwide level, gyms were able to get into phase one because that's what the Trump administration recommended. And that there was a big lobbying push to get themselves there. And locally, gyms not a part of phase one, salons as well. They've already opened in other counties. So you could go out to Rutherford County and get your hair cut. You can go to Williamson County and get your hair cut. Now, there's no, you know, onus on those places to open, but they have the opportunity to now in some of the surrounding counties. I think starting perhaps tomorrow. I forget exactly what Governor Lee recommended on that. But the mayor is hoping that maybe it's about a 14-day period. Maybe it's a touch less. I think if they can keep four of the six key metrics in the green, as they describe it, then it might not be too long before phase two. I think when you look at the recommendations to get fully open, bigger crowds, sporting events, movie theaters, it gets more difficult to get to phase three and four.
Alex Apple of Fox 17 is with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And yeah, I sit here and I've had different conversations with myself about this of, you know, is some of this trial and error? Let's see what happens, because as you brought up, these businesses have to operate. I mean, people have to live their lives. They have to make money. So at some point, something's got to give. And so I wonder if some of it, not just in our city, is a little trial and error. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how we can operate.
Sure. It is trial and error. I mean, just think about the fact that this is so unprecedented. There is no blueprint for this. They are having to create a set of rules and then hope that they made the right decision. I mean, it's a little more fleshed out than just trial and error, but it is a best guess at what will work, and we hope we're right. And, you know, think about the sleepless nights that probably engenders for you if you're the mayor, if you're the governor, if you're anyone having to make decisions on this. It is really a cross your fingers and hope that we made the best decision, because nobody knows exactly what will work. Nobody. We can't sit here, you know, he doesn't know if there's going to be fans in sports stadiums in the fall. He can guess, but nobody knows. Nobody knows if we're going to all get sick from eating at restaurants because we opened too quick. You know, it is fascinating in that standpoint and a little nerve-wracking. So I think the way you put it is apt. And, you know, if you're making these decisions, all you can do is your best and hope that that worked.
This is a little bit of a loaded question and definitely opinion-based, but Do you think that if Governor Lee could maybe go back to try and have his major cities more in unison than they have been with some of this plan, that would be something that he would want to look at? Because that's the complicated part if you're Mayor Cooper, is you're trying to do what's best for Nashville. And I understand it's different in certain areas, but if the governor is getting on TV saying, yeah, we're reopening parts of the state, I can understand the pushback from certain people in Nashville. So I wonder if there's a little bit of regret, even though, as you said, it's unprecedented, so you didn't really have anything to base it on.
I don't disagree with anything you just said, because people are going to watch the governor on TV, and not everyone's experts on this. Really, no one's an expert on this, and they're going to say, well, what's true here? What do I think? You know, who should I believe? The mayor that we're not ready? The governor says we're ready? Now, what the governor has done is largely just what the federal government told him to do. I mean, more or less, very, very, very similar. And so the mayor has taken his own path. Now, if you'll remember back when we were starting to close things down, it was actually John Cooper who took a lot of these steps first. Nashville did it, and then the state followed. Now the state has, in, you know, a lot of 89 counties, which is a lot of rural areas, reopened, and now Nashville is following. I think that, you know, a unified government response, which Bill Lee would tell you in the press conference, his answer, for better or for worse, is that he feels like he's got that. But I don't expect him to say anything less. It's kind of like coach speak in a press conference. You pretty much expect him to say and spin things in a positive direction, and that's his prerogative. I think that the mayor of Chattanooga, who felt confused by some of the state's orders, would say, I needed better communication. I don't know what John Cooper would say, but I think the more unified the government is, the better we're all going to be. So let's all cross our fingers that they're on the same page. Now, John Cooper, though, did admit he felt a little hemmed in by the state's decision, because can you really stay closed when, you know, for some people it is a five-minute drive to get out of the county, and then those people are also bringing back the risk that you're trying to avoid? Right? You can't keep people out of Davidson County. So they were going to Williamson County or Rutherford County and coming back and driving to work and whatever they were doing. So it definitely hemmed the mayor in a little bit. Now, how much of a factor that was for him, I don't know. I don't want to speculate. But that's got to be reality when you just look at how things were working, because 5 minutes down the road from a lot of our houses, 10 minutes, you could go out. But if you went into downtown or you went further into the city, you couldn't. And how successful can you really be with that? Because Nashville's going to have a lot of cross-pollination, for lack of a better word, from those other counties.
In this, with trying to educate us, because this is not our world. Sports is our world, and there's some things about politics and how it works that we don't understand. What's the best way to ask this? So you've got cities with mayors and counties with mayors. So, for example, me living here in Smyrna, there's a mayor of Smyrna, there's a mayor of Murfreesboro,
right,
but yet there's a mayor of Rutherford County. How does that dynamic work whenever they're trying to make a decision on something?
So the way that the state, the reason Nashville's decision-making specifically to COVID has been different than the state's is because we have our own health department that's not run by the Tennessee Department of Health. Lisa Piercy, that you see with the governor, is not in charge of Nashville's health department. There's six counties in the state that are like that. So in this decision-making case, if your health department was controlled by the state and run by the state, then you could reopen. That's who Bill Lee was in charge of. He reopened 89 counties. And a lot of the big cities have their own health department. If you're talking more generally in government, the like, let's take the tornado, for example. So when we would go out to Putnam County, where it was hit as hard as any other spot, with all due respect to Nashville, it was nothing like Putnam County, where the devastation was truly shocking. But you had a Putnam County mayor, and you had a Cookeville mayor.
Correct.
That would both be at the press conferences.
Yes.
They make decisions in tandem. Now, all these government entities have their own code or a charter that's drawn up differently. In a lot of this scenario, there's really the actual reality on the ground is there's not a lot of difference. They're both kind of doing the same thing. They share some responsibilities. They have no responsibility over the other. You know, a local county mayor doesn't wield that much power.
Okay.
Certainly not like the mayor in Nashville does.
Right.
Now, that's not just because it's a big city. Metro government is really weird. I mean, I've been around the country and covered government a lot of places. There's very little, few things, very few places like metro government. And it's drawn up for a city, really, originally, that was a lot smaller than what we have now. That's not to say it's not working, but it's unique. I mean, metro government and the way that the council, you know, works with the mayor, like the budget, for example. So what happens with the budget, and this is, I hope I'm not going down a rabbit hole, but I think this is easy for people to understand. The mayor recommends his budget, right? Big property tax increase. He thinks it's the only way around it. So the Metro Council is going to debate it, and they'll all have their own ideas. Some will say that we don't, you know, have the bandwidth to ask any more of our citizens in this tough economic time. Others will vote for it. But if they can't agree, like if by June 30th the council, like, has reached no consensus, no majority, then the mayor's budget just becomes law. That's what happened last year. They hated David Briley's budget. I don't think that there was very much, excitement around that at all. It put Band-Aids on some budget holes, and kind of is one of the reasons why we're in the situation right now. But they couldn't agree on anything. David Briley's budget becomes the law of the land. So it's very interesting. I mean, all of the – it's interesting and wonky and hard to understand. You're not alone in figuring out how all these entities interact with one another. Going back to your previous question, the better they interact together, the better it's all going to be. But politics is a game of egos sometimes, and sometimes you don't always get great cooperation.
Good stuff. Really appreciate you joining us. Keep up the good work on Fox 17. We've enjoyed your coverage throughout all of this. It's been obviously a weird 2020 here in Middle Tennessee for sure. But thanks for doing this, Alex, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. You guys are doing a great job, and you've been handed months of June 5th broadcast where you kind of joke about having nothing to talk about. Can you be good on the radio on June 5th? Well, you guys are doing a great job of it, so I'll thank you guys back for keeping us entertained. Man, I can't wait for sports to come back. I'm itching for it badly.
No doubt about it.
Thanks, Alex,
for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Alex Apple from Fox 17. Really appreciate him joining us. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Good stuff from Alex Apple from Fox 17. Talking about Nashville Mayor John Cooper, his press conference this morning, saying the plan is to enter phase one for Nashville on Monday, which will begin with commercial retail businesses and restaurants. They will operate at half capacity, screen all employees daily, clean facilities, and have guidelines to maintain hygiene and wearing of face coverings for employees and patrons. Bar areas will remain closed, as well as live music. Self-service and shared condiments are not allowed. So this does not include schools, bars, gyms, salons. They will remain closed, along with entertainment and cultural venues. And no gatherings over 10 people allowed, and people will still be advised to work from home if possible. So that is the plan for Monday, phase one for Davidson County, and we'll see where it goes from there. Good stuff from Alex, though.
Yeah, that was informative. And that,
you know, a lot to think about.
We need. Yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot to think about. I mean, that's...
I'm just going to continue. I'm going to focus like Coach Willie often does on the show. My Coach Willie speak is going to be for the next couple weeks. Step by step, let's just worry about getting to phase two. That's all we can do right now. Let's get to phase two. Let's not worry about anything else. Be smart. Because I think this is going to be the key, right? How crazy are people going to get? Because I think we should be very thankful that we have the stuff open. And I think Alex makes a good point. Like, we want to support these restaurants, right? When we can, let's support them. Let's not be afraid to go in there. But when you go in there, let's observe all of the recommendations, right? With the face covering and the distancing and all of those things that are going to be very, very important with there. And the restaurants have to do the same thing, right? They should want the business, and so they should be inviting with their messaging and everything that they do to set the tone when you go in there. Hey, this is safe. You can come in here and eat. They can't be lax.
I know the employees are wearing masks, but wearing a mask in a restaurant, once your food is at the table, how does that work? Because I have not, I've not ventured out.
That goes back to that conversation we had the other day. Because, you know, and I admitted, I said, I know myself that if I'm sitting there and I have a mask on and I'm trying to pull it up every time I take a bite or a drink, you know, I'm eventually going to get annoyed with that and just say, forget it and just take it off. That's me being completely honest.
Yeah, no, me too, because, I mean, I haven't done this yet. I'm still in the to-go phase, or carry-out phase, no, or curbside. Actually, I'm more curbside. That's what I am right now, where they just bring it to the car. But
me too.
I was just curious, you know, how does that work?
Well, you physically can't eat right while you have the mask on, right? You have to take it off while you eat.
Yeah. It looks like.
But maybe while you're sitting there waiting for the food, you know, and you're sipping on water or whatever, you know, you got to proceed accordingly. But I mean, we all have to deal with the same thing, right? We're all humans and we're all doing this, but we just have to have the mindset. We have to have the right mindset. And I think we know that you're going to run across people that aren't doing it. And it's going to be frustrating.
That. We're already seeing that.
Because that's what health experts are cautioning, right? Whether it's Dr. Fauci on a national show or Dr. Schaffner. From Vanderbilt on a local
Shatner
level, who you see.
Shatner's pretty cool. He's one of my favorites.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah,
Bill
William
Shatner. Star Trek. But
long and prosper.
The virus is going to move. As we move, the virus moves, right? So so you risk the spread. So we have to make smart choices when you do it. That's the concern. And if people don't do it, then we're going to see the numbers go up, and we don't want to have to go back.
Indeed, we don't. Major League Baseball is coming up with a return-to-play proposal, and they're expected to unveil that within the week. Have you guys seen this from Jeff
Yep.
Passan at ESPN? By the way, I know we really haven't talked about it, even though we've talked about him. Like, how did Jeff Passan move into this role that he's turned into the go-to
guy?
How did that happen?
He's the man.
He is the man. How did that happen? Did any of us know?
No, I have no idea. But he has. He's been the
he's
one.
He's been around for a while. He wrote the book, The Arm. He's been building a while, but he's only recently gone to ESPN.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I've just now heard of Jeff Passan, but how did he just turn into this prominent role where now basically he's the Adam Schefter for baseball? Any news coming out of the baseball world, it's coming out of Jeff Passan.
But I think we're also seeing the next wave of some of these insiders. I mean, even on the football side, you still have Schefter and Mortensen some, but you know, Jeff Darlington's getting a lot more run now. Seifert, you know, Kevin Seifert has been one. So I think it just could be that. It's just kind of the next wave of, you know, ESPN pushing some of these people. But you're right, he's been all over this story especially, but there have been other ones.
Yep. So the baseball, I'm trying to just sift through this. This is, of course, going through, you know, they got the PA, and so they've encouraged, let's see, prepare for spring training that could begin in mid-June and a season that could start in early July. And I actually threw that out there, I think it was last week. I said, don't be surprised if baseball doesn't start things up around July 4th weekend.
You know, I think they've been targeting that for a while.
Yeah, and so that seems like that has been the road they're going. But still, when I go through this, I don't see about, you know, how they're preparing to do this. You know, what we've heard so many proposals on the baseball side of it. Looks like they're going to hold a three or four-week spring training. But, you know, how are they going to do all this?
Well, have you noticed, and we're talking baseball, you mentioned the other day that we haven't heard much about the NHL or the NBA. The NFL has laid out protocols for reopening facilities. So I do wonder, you know, now, you know, the NFL does one, MLB saying here in the next few days they'll release one. I wonder if the others will follow if now this goes back to they're all talking to each other. And as we get closer to one, does that mean that everyone's going to fall in line or, you know, just kind of see how it goes? But I'm curious of that. Yeah, because I was reading Jeff Passan's article this morning on that and the NFL's as well. So I do find that interesting that you hear one league and then you hear another one, and you'll probably hear even more before the week's out.
It's saying that, you know, they're trying to, the league and the PA, they're trying to determine, you know, whatever they agree upon. So there's no new news on how many games we're talking about, you know, how many players will each team be able to use. That's another thing. You know, their normal active roster will not be in play. Obviously, I think we know that stuff's going to be how that's going to – they're going to have to expand. How's that going to work?
Well, they put in the article, it's got a couple of things along those lines. Multiple executives have suggested as many as 50 players will be available for teams to use, and that they'll have active rosters of up to 30 players in each game. Now, imagine if that's the case. That would change the strategy a little bit. The length of the season, should it start in July, could be from 80 to 100 games.
Which is what we've been saying all along, which was realistic for baseball, right? All that, we're going to try to get a full season or 120 game. We're like, look, if they get in half, even a hundred, in fact, I think our exact words were probably the ceiling is 100, the floor is probably 80. Somewhere between 80 and 100 is probably what's going to be the realistic target for Major League Baseball this season to get in.
And I would say that
that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the question is, so then what do the minor leagues do? Will there be minor league baseball?
That's a murky question.
That's a great question. Don't know.
We had Bob Nightingale on when they first came up with, you know, what he put in his article, the 10-team leagues, basically, that travel only within their circles. In other words, the Yankees and Mets would be in the same division along with the Red Sox and the teams up in the Northeast. There'd be a group of teams in the Central, a group of teams in the West, so you would limit the air travel. And he suggested that the minor leaguers would then play in the spring training facilities in inter-squad games, basically, or maybe play against each other down there. But if you're sitting there and you run the Nashville Sounds, you would probably wonder the question, you know, will we have any season at our park? You know, we get, even if there's no fans, it kind of defeats the purpose. The only revenue they get is from the gate receipts, right? Pretty much, and sponsorships, yeah. Right? Yep. Is some, but would you even have to, would it be worth it to open the park and staff the stadium if you could have 25% capacity at some point? It's a tough question. The minor leagues are, from the players on down, too. Think about the minor leaguers who don't make a lot of money. They've dedicated their lives to playing, and they're not getting paid at all right now. You know, they're jobless.
Let's hear from ESPN's Jeff Passan.
It's understandable that there are questions about a return in June or July because we still don't know what the country is going to look like next week as opposed to a month or two from now. So, yes, August is a realistic possibility in a contingency plan. And September is another realistic possibility and a contingency plan. And all of these things need to be baked into that original proposal that Major League Baseball is going to send over to the Players Association in the coming week or so. Because I think both sides need to be really understanding about this, that as much as they want to get back on the field, the realities out there publicly, both politically and both health-wise, really are going to be what's guiding baseball back and ultimately onto the field.
So we've been sitting here having fun on this show about the Korean Baseball League. We talked about Taiwan whenever they started playing baseball. So we've been watching baseball overseas, and we've picked our teams in the Korean. But one thing that we haven't really done is, you know, what is the setup? We haven't really discussed kind of the deeper dive. So we know baseball is being played right now without fans. So, and by the way, I was watching one of the games yesterday. In fact, I think it was my Doosan Bears game in the afternoon. And they had some, I guess, a couple of girls on the dugout. Oh, there's like cheerleaders. I don't know. So there were some people in the stands, very, very limited. I don't think they were fans. I think they were just, you know, providing some type of entertainment. But what we haven't talked about is how are they doing this? Like, how are they traveling? Where are they staying? What's the how are
they're
they
way further down
the
road? They're way further down the road with the testing and the tracking. And so that's a good question. Remember, we're talking about South Korea, which is not that big. I would like to. I don't know if I can make an accurate comparison. It's the same size as California or Florida, but it's not.
Well, Taiwan,
it's not a vast
I think,
place.
Is an island of 25 million people. I think I remember reading about that when we were talking about baseball when it first started in Taiwan. Taiwan, I think, is comprised of about 25 million. You said South Korea. I can look that up real quick and see what's the population.
51 million.
Okay, so it's about twice the size. Yeah, 51.5 million. But I want to know, what are they doing? We haven't really talked about that. I haven't really seen where we know, where are they staying? What are these teams doing? Do they get tested? How does that work? We're just watching the games, and we're seeing these broadcasts in English. But what all is going on behind the scenes? I'd like to know that.
I would love to know that. That's a very, very good question because, anyone that's calling the games here, obviously they're not there, so they couldn't answer that. But I'd be very curious to know how that would all work or that is working.
Well, I'm looking at some information here. South Korea is about the same size of the U.S. state of Indiana. So the entire country is the state of Indiana. So traveling is probably not, it's obviously not that extensive to get around to there's 10 different teams. I don't know if they're playing in a centralized location or a couple different parks, though. That's worth looking into to see what they have done logistically.
But you know that Major League Baseball has been paying close attention to this. And
no doubt.
They're going to get it figured out. They figure out by the time they're ready to start up, when the date's kind of worth throwing out there, is probably about the same time frame as when Taiwan probably started up. True, right? Since everything started with them to when they started up, they're probably thinking along the same lines of this is how they've come to the conclusion of when's realistic for them to probably look at starting things up.
If you're Major League Baseball, well, this is a trickle-down effect in my opinion. But if you're Major League Baseball, aren't you relieved to know that, okay, we have, even though they're halfway across the world,
we have a model. We have a model.
We have something we can look at. If you're the NFL, then you're even better because you know that you can watch, all right, we got the Korean Baseball League, then Major League Baseball, and then whatever NBA and NHL and MLS do, we can kind of see how that plays out. And I know it's different, but NASCAR is still a part of this too. UFC, golf, they all factor in.
MLS.
Yeah, I said MLS. Yeah, they all, have to kind of work together. But if you're the NFL, you're lean back going, let's just see how this plays out because we got time.
Honestly, Chase, I don't think the NFL cares what anybody does.
That's true too.
They're probably going to do whatever they want to do. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to pay attention, but I don't think what anybody else does hinges on what they do. Don't forget, when the report came out that they were going to conduct the draft as normal, there were a lot of people questioning that move. What? Why? Why do this now? This is not the right time. And you know what? They didn't bat an eye, and they still did it, and guess what?
And they adapted.
It was
and it worked.
A huge success.
The NFL, this is where I will give them a ton of credit. They are not scared at all to say, we're going to do this. And then when they get more information, okay, we're gonna alter this just a little bit, but we're keeping on with this schedule. They're not afraid to do that. There's a report, they're releasing their schedule tonight.
Yep.
We're gonna know the schedule, and there's a report that they might front load the schedules to have AFC NFC matchups in the first 4 weeks. When I first heard that, I was like, why are they doing? Oh, in case they got to push back and just go all conference schedules. They are building in plan B, plan C, but they're not afraid to keep going. You know when I think the NFL season is going to kick off?
As planned.
When it's supposed to.
Yep.
That's
By the way, there's already things trickling out about the schedule. A big matchup already in week one is being put out there on Twitter. That people, you know how this works. People get a hold of some things that are going on behind the scenes, and they're starting to leak it out. I'll tell you what that matchup is when we come back to wrap up the third hour next. You can enter our uniform drawing contest. Yeah, chance to win a jersey from the Preds, Nashville SC, Sounds, Vanderbilt Football, or MTSU Basketball. You can download a jersey template from thegamenashville.com or draw your own and submit for your chance to win. Game listeners will then vote on the top three uniforms from each category, hockey, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball, with the winner getting a jersey from that sport. Enter today at thegamenashville.com. Now, Chase, you've been fooling around with this. You're not eligible, but you've been doing some of these uniforms, correct?
Yeah, I made a couple on Photoshop, and I need to post the – I did a black version that we've put out there and then a red version, and they're basically the Bulls. I was inspired by the Chicago Bulls, their basketball jerseys, and so I did one with the game logo across the chest and ironically put number 32. Can't imagine where I would have gotten 32 as the reverse of 23, but yeah, just had a little fun with it. So on Photoshop.
Now, I said that I've seen some things get leaked out about the schedule. And one of the matchups that I saw was, you know, when I was making my pitch on why the Titans should bring Tom Brady here was what? Not on the field, but
national, off the field, national attention, things with that.
So the first report I saw was the first leak that the NFL will open their season on primetime with the Saints versus the Bucks. Imagine that. Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. And that's kind of what I was talking about. You will see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that would receive virtually no love on national television. Now they're going to get all kinds of love in primetime because Tom Brady, and then you add Gronkowski into the mix, and you're going to see the Bucs littered all over the place when it comes to primetime games. Now, what's interesting to me is, what does this do for the Patriots? Because the Patriots have always been littered with primetime games. So no Brady. Gronk's already been out of the mix, but now no Brady. What does that do for them on primetime? Are they still
They'll still get some. Because now what's the narrative? What's the question now that people are interested in and would watch?
I don't know.
What does it look like?
What if they're not good? And
well, that's the risk that you take if you're the TV network.
Or what if they're just average?
Well, that's the risk that you take. I mean, that's a part of it. I mean, Monday Night Football has been able to say, yeah, we've had some average or bad matchups for a long time. We always, you know, hate on the Thursday night games, which are a different animal. But that's a part of this. The only national package that can flex is Sunday Night Football, and that's Week 10 on. So our week, I think they've moved it. Maybe it's like
Week 8.
I think
they've moved it up early.
Yeah, I think it's like Week 8, but half the season, essentially, they can flex. But that's just a part of it, and not all of these matchups are going to be compelling. Now, I've always kind of felt that the Monday night games should be in the flex package, but they haven't done that as of yet. I know that you're adding a day, you're moving some stuff around, that there's some logistics involved, but I still think from a TV standpoint, if I'm ESPN, I'd push for that. But I think they get a few, maybe not as many as they would if Brady was still there, but I still believe people are interested enough in the Patriots that the TV networks would want them on a national stage.
I don't see it. I'll tell you right now, I think the Bucs get more primetime games than the Patriots.
Well, okay, sure, but that's not how I took your question. I took your question as just are the Patriots still going to get some national games, and are people going to pay attention? Yeah, the Bucks will probably get a lot more than the Patriots. What do the Cowboys usually get? Like 7? I'm a Cowboys fan.
As many as you can get.
Yeah, I think the Bucks could probably be in that realm.
So how many will the Titans get?
I set the over under at 2.5 and taking slightly over at 3.
Well, what is counted as what counts in this?
Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night.
Well, Thursday night is a given. Everybody gets one. So everybody starts at one.
Sure. So you count that. But you do have to count it. That's a national game.
So basically it comes down to your over-under is 1.5.
Sure.
Essentially. Because, there's one Thursday night game we know is going to happen.
You got to go over 1.5, don't you, for a team that got the AFC championship game?
I think they get three.
No. I think they get one of each. You don't have to.
Well, there's different ways that you count it, though. Do you count Thursday night?
Well, that's what I just said. I'm counting Thursday. He said 2.5. Everybody's going to get a Thursday game. So that's already one. We know everybody has one. So basically,
well, that's what I'm saying.
1.5
for Sunday
or Monday. Well, no, for Sunday night or Monday night. So are you saying over?
Absolutely, I'm saying
over. Yeah, I say over. They went to the AFC title game.
I'll take the under.
So you
you're saying they're
going
to get one Thursday game and that's it?
Oh, my gosh. One is Thursday's already given. We're not even talking about Thursday. Just take it out of the equation. Everybody gets a Thursday. We know they're going to get a Thursday. So all the question is 1.5. That means it's got to be either to say over, then you're saying it's got to be two games of either Sunday night football or Monday night football. That's all that counts. Thursday night is taken out.
Oh, yeah.
So no you problem. Think they would get one of each or two Monday nights or whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So let me
help
you.
I say they get one. They'll get a Monday night game.
Here are the opponents.
When's the last time they had Sunday night? How many Sunday night games have they had?
Well, 2 years ago when they got flexed for
the
last game.
The last game of the year when they played the Colts.
Right. But, okay, take away the last game of the year when the division was on the line and – all these other teams had set all their stars. When's the last time they legitimately got a Sunday night football game in the last decade?
Yeah, when they actually had a scheduled Sunday night game?
Right.
I don't know.
Right, that's what I'm getting at.
But when's the last time they've come off getting to the AFC Championship game?
Before
you think that changes?
Yes.
See, I think they get one Monday night game and that's it. So I'm going to take the under.
I'll take the over.
Hope you're right.
Now what happens if they flex eventually? If they flex one to one of those times,
we're talking about now. Yeah, we're talking about the original schedule.
The schedule, yeah.
So the schedule that comes out.
Let me do this real fast. These are the potential in my mind because we have the opponents, home opponents, the three division matchups: Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago. I put Pittsburgh as a candidate of a national game, and then one of the two Indianapolis games, I think, is a candidate for a national game. On the road, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Denver, Green Bay, Minnesota, definitely put Baltimore as a candidate, and I would even go as far to say Cincinnati because of Burrow. No. Not saying they will, but just saying it's a candidate.
No. The only one to me that makes any sense is I could see a Baltimore-Tennessee Monday night game.
I think that's a lock, if I'm being completely honest. I think that's a lock for and I like Monday night. So there's one. But I think the Colts, one of the Colts games, I think that's a national game. And then, of course, your Jacksonville Thursday night game. You got to schedule that. But as you said.
You got to have that one. There's one.
That's
right
an institution.
There.
Right, that's the given. That's why there's no reason
even
talk about that.
That's what I'm saying, Darren. I'm saying that's the given, but I'm also joking because it's always Jacksonville.
Yeah. When is that ever going to change? When can they get out of the Jacksonville-Tennessee Thursday night game? All right, we'll come back, and we will kick off the final hour with Elliot Friedman. We always enjoy our chats with him Thursdays at 1. That's next.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.